Good evening. It is good to be here at Lone Oak Baptist Church. Someone wrote me and spelled it L-O-A-N. And I thought, we could take advantage of that. But it's Lone Oak, L-O-N-E, as in the only oak. Is there a famous oak tree around here? Somewhere. It's gone now. But there was a lone oak. An oak tree in Spanish is called a roble. Anybody speak Spanish here? I know we got a few over here. A roble. A beautiful, and it just sounds so good when it comes off your tongue. It sounds like noble. And noble in Spanish means noble. So I think we're in a pretty good spot tonight. It's God's church. It is a good spot. We're with the people of God. It's a privilege for me to be here. I told Jeff that I probably passed somewhere in the woods, between Louisville and Paducah, 1,000 Southern Baptist churches, I imagine. I'm told that there are 2,400 Southern Baptist churches, or Kentucky Baptist churches. Let's get it right. Kentucky Baptist churches, over 2,400 Kentucky Baptist churches. That's a lot of people partnering together for the gospel. And it's a privilege for me to be here. Normally, these speaking engagements are reserved for when you're home living, when you're home on stateside. When you're here and you're doing a furlough, and you're connecting with churches and sharing about the different things that are going on. So for me to be here and to have flown in just for a week of visiting with Kentucky Baptists, it's a privilege for me. It's an honor for me to be able to come back to the States and spend a week just with the sole purpose of being with our fellowships and with our supporting churches for the IMB. So I want y'all to hear me say, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be with you today, because I'm only here in America because I'm here to be with you guys. That's the sole purpose of this trip. I left my wife and my three kids at home. I'm going to show you a picture. You see them in the thing, right? They look a lot better than I do. And especially you see me now and you're like, how did that gray-headed, heavy-set young guy do so well? And I thought, I'd give you a little secret. I went to the University of Alabama. And a lot of good things happen to people who wear crimson. That's just a joke. That's for Hank, who grew up an hour or so down the road from where I did. Where's Hank right now? Somewhere up there. There he is. Hank and I are from the same couple counties apart in Georgia. And about the same age. And so he's a Georgia guy. We'll forgive him for it. And we'll forget the rest of y'all for whoever y'all pull for, too. I heard the pastor's a Mississippi something fan. They're all Mississippi something. I don't know. What church? What? Well, tell me the colors. Maroon? Okay. All right. Well, it's not maroon. But it is a privilege to be here with you guys today. I live in Santiago, Chile. We do missions and ministry in Santiago, Chile, because that's where God called our family to be. Before serving with the IMB, I was a pastor of a church, kind of like Friendship Baptist in a small town in South Carolina near Augusta, Georgia, which is home for me, that Augusta, Georgia area. And before that, I was an IMB missionary, single, in Brazil. And that's how I met my wife. And Hank just came back from Paris, and my wife was a journeyman in Paris, France. And so I hear you're going to be a team, small SWAT team, coming from here, going to serve in Paris. My wife will be happy to hear that. That was about 15 years ago. And so I'm not going to go any further back than that, because then I'll start telling you how old I am. But that, a little bit of our story, God called us back. And when he did send us back overseas, my wife and I always said, when he called us back overseas, we had the privilege of being with James and with Abby at our training. And yesterday I got to spend some good time with James and Abby reconnecting And we were sent out and trained together. So it's been really good to be here with you. Very encouraging to me. And we're praying for you and your family. And we're praying for your church. I want to thank Brother Scott for the opportunity to be here tonight. I want to thank Jeff for all the plans and the hospitality. And let's get to talking about what I'm here to talk about, which is the Lord. Amen. We're here to talk about the Lord. You see a picture, the International Mission Board. That is not Santiago. That is one of our branded pages. But it just as well could be. And you're going to see that in this next picture that comes up on your screen. This is Santiago, Chile. That's home for me. The mountains in the background are just that pretty, and they're just that big. Those are the Andes Mountains. Not far up the road, about an hour or so up the road along those mountains, is the tallest mountain in South America, 22,000 feet. What you see right there is easily in the 15,000 feet range behind us. And that's probably what it looks like today with the rain and the snow, and what it's going to look like from now until September or October. The mountains are covered with snow all of the time, and it is breathtaking, absolutely breathtaking. And then you have this tall building which dominates the skyline and is such an incredible symbol of what Chile is. Chile leads the way in almost every category in Latin America. It is the cream of the crop. Chile is the country that other Latin American countries aspire to achieve what the Chileans have achieved. They want to achieve this sort of first world type development, the amount of prosperity. Santiago is 8 million people, approximately 8 million people. What you see in this picture represents a million of those, roughly. Only a million. But this million represents the elite of almost all of Latin America. It is representative of Latin America, the aspiring goals of emerging countries around the world. Nowhere else in Latin America are you going to find a concentration of wealth, a concentration of developed, a concentration of first world. What you're looking at right now, I don't know if anyone here is interested in statistics or knows anything about what's called the Human Development Index, the HDI, and that's where they place a number on the most developed places in the world, the best places in the world with the best health care, the highest quality of living, best access to jobs, to infrastructure, to education. And this million people is on par with the best cities in Switzerland, with Vancouver, Canada. If you were to take it and cut it out and say it was its own place, it would be in the top 10 best places to live in the world. That's Santiago, Chile. If you leave this area, you begin to see what you would expect to see in a lot of other places. You see diversity and you see contrast. In this area that you see today, best estimates say around 2,000 to 3,000 people attended church somewhere today. The capacity here, Brother Jeff said, in this sanctuary was 1,100. People like me and you, or Jeff, you're not as big as I am, but I count for two, so depends on the size of the person sitting in the pew. But if you filled this twice, you would have all of the people who would attend church on any given Sunday. The need is great. If you were to leave this part of town and go to other parts of town, that number's going to go up drastically. That's what most people think about when they hear about IMB missions or missions in Latin America, reached. They're reached. They're sending. They have strong churches. And it's true, we do. But we have massive pockets of unreached people who don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and who need to hear the gospel. Yes, we work in sending. Yes, we do lots of things in Chile. We help the Chileans get to the nations. We have two people on our team of 14. So I lead a team of 14. And we have two people on our team, two units on our team, that are dedicated to helping Chileans, Argentines, Uruguayans, and Paraguayans get to the mission field, just like Brother Jeff is helping your church do. We have two people who are dedicated to that. But our energy, our focus as missionaries is still on getting the gospel to the unreached. We still want to prioritize the unreached, those who haven't yet had a life-changing encounter and haven't yet been born again by the Spirit of God. Our units, we live in an awkward situation. It's wonderful. We love each other. But nowhere else like this in all of Latin America, in all of the America's affinity where we work, among our 300 missionaries, do we live like this. But we live in one of these buildings, kind of up to the left of that tall building, toward the mountains. Five of our eight units live in one building. Now, that's probably not the best mission practice, but many years ago when there were 25 and 30 units living in Chile, it made sense sometimes to buy into one building financially. The board was able to invest into this place. And now we have investments, and that's where we stay. We have a family on the 7th floor. We have a family on the 12th floor. We have another family on the 14th floor. We have another family on the 16th floor. And in my family, we live on the 19th floor. Now, Chile is known for a couple of things. Outside of what I'm telling you, it is a beautiful country. There are few places on earth as beautiful as Chile. It comes with a price. It's called earthquakes. Big ones. And the earthquakes are stronger on the 19th floor than they are on the 7th floor. And every once in a while, the building will shake. And it'll sway, and you start feeling a little dizzy, and you realize there was just a little temblor. We don't even call them earthquakes. It was just a little shake. Because the big ones are so big, you don't want to live through them. But the 19th floor has its challenge. But I like the 19th floor because we also have the best view of the city. You get 19 floors up, and I look out my window, and I watch the sunset looking back over that building. And I can see the need. I can see the lostness. As the lights come on in the morning, I get up to get my kids ready for school. And those of us who have kids at school, we're the first ones up. You guys know how that goes, right? You've lived that. Some of you live in it right now. And at the end of the day, when the lights start going off, and when the sun sets, every day, if you want to walk in tune with the Spirit, you get a good reminder of why you're there. And the fact that you just kind of let the earthquake settle on in the back of your mind, it could be enough to cause a lot of people not to want to live on the 19th floor. And that's the truth. But to get the view of the need and to be able to capture God's vision, what God sees. Because each one of those lights that comes on and off in the city is a person. And each one of those people has a creator. And that creator is the same creator who sent his only son to give his life on the cross for our sins. And when we believe in him, what does the scripture say? He who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why we're there. That's what Chile is. It represents an opportunity for us to get in tune with the Spirit of God. And I live on the 19th floor with my family. Don't you want to see pictures of my family? That's a lot. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? And with my family, we're there for lostness. There's me in a dress down a little bit. And there's my wife. You look at that picture, you say, how did that heavy set, gray-headed guy wind up with her? Y'all remember the answer? Where'd I go to school? Kids out there, they got young men out there, just put that, file that away. So go tell your grandkids, there's hope. If you go to the right school, good things will happen to you. And these are my kids. I've got a picture of each one of them. I want to tell you about my kids. My wife, Megan, and I met, like I said, in Richmond. She's wonderful. James will tell you, I really married up. My wife is wonderful. She loves the Lord. If she were here, she'd be speaking, and she would captivate you. She is just a gem, my wife is. We usually do these things together, and she really knows how to speak to the heart of a person about the things of God. This is my oldest son, Emery. James, remember, we were reflecting on this. He was 3 years old in class with Lena when we were at FPO. Now he's 9, just like Lena, 9 years old. And he is a hoot. He's a jokester. Everybody knows the class clown. That's my son. That was kind of his coping strategy when he moved to Chile and at 3 years old started learning Spanish, decided that his best way in when he couldn't speak the language was just to be the funny guy. And that's kind of what he likes to be known as, the funny guy. And he brings us a lot of joy. He's our oldest, our firstborn. His name is Emery. He's in third grade. And we love him to death. You can tell I'm so proud of my kids. And this was in the south of Chile earlier this year when we, after 4 years of COVID and a lot of different things, we got to take a little bit of a vacation and see some of the south of Chile. And so this is my son, Emery. His biggest challenge, if you want to pray for him, is he's lazy. Anybody know a lazy person? And he likes to rush through his homework and rush through his test at school, and sometimes his grades reflect it. He goes to school in Spanish. So if you could pray that my son would just learn a little bit more discipline and just slow down a little bit, you can pray for him. He gave his life to Christ about 2 years ago, and I had the privilege of baptizing my son in Chile, and that was a tremendous joy. Our next picture is my son, Penn. Penn is 7 years old. He's in the second grade. He's lost another one of his front teeth since we took this picture a couple months ago. And he's all things sports. Everybody met a kid's all things sports. He loves soccer. He loves basketball. He loves weed sports or golf. And you know, he wants to play every sport all day long. That's all he wants to do. And he kicks balls around the apartment. And my wife doesn't like it. And so we have to stay on top of him. But he brings us a lot of joy. And he gave his life to Christ last September. I was in London for a conference, the training conference with the board. And then I went to a special prayer service. And at this prayer service, I went alone. I'd flown in, and that night I went to a prayer service. At the prayer service, they said, pray for three people that need to know the Lord. And I prayed for my brother-in-law, I prayed for my son, and I prayed for a guy in Chile. The next morning, my wife sends me a message. She says, got something to tell you. Penn wants to call you. Hours after I prayed for him, he gave his life to Christ. We believe in the power of prayer. Believe in the power of prayer. Praise God for children who come to know the Lord at a young age. You can pray for my son, though, because he's a middle child. And anybody knows I'm a middle child, so I know a little bit about it. God's just kind of teaching me a little bit. But if you don't mind, pray for my son. Pray for him to know that it's not so bad to be the middle child. Life is not just as unfair as he thinks it is, if you've ever had one of those. It's just so unfair. But if you don't mind praying for him to know that he doesn't have it as bad as he thinks it does. And then I've got a perfect one. Anybody else have a perfect one? I have a perfect one. Let's go to the next one. Oh, man, that's a perfect one right there. I don't have anything to ask you to pray for her, other than just pray for her daddy. She's 2 years and two months old. That's Mary Margaret. Her Chilean, all the Chileans like to call her Lady Margaret. They call her the princess. And I can see why. She's a princess, and that's our heart. That's Mary Margaret, 2 years old. She's a Chilean. She was born in Chile. Spanish, ironically, is her first language. That's what she likes to speak. And if you know how babies kind of have their own language anyway? And so she speaks baby Spanish, which I don't speak. And so we're having a little bit of a learning curve, but she's perfect, so don't pray for that she changes. I don't want her to change. But she speaks baby Spanish and throws in some English words here and there. And she's just learning to talk, but she is our pride and joy. That's Mary Margaret. We serve together. I go through that to say we are all working together. Our families are working together. We have other families on our team. We have another family. I'd love to tell you about every one of them. We have another family that has three kids, roughly the same age. We have another family that has four kids. The three younger are about the same age, and the oldest is now at Baylor, finishing her freshman year. We have three empty nesting families. All their kids are grown and gone. Two of them have kids in Kentucky, believe it or not, in Bowling Green. And then we have two journeymen, two recent college graduates who have been with us for a year. And together, all of our families, we're living life and we're doing the same things you do. We're doing them hopefully with the same purpose you have, and that is to make Jesus known to people. I want to ask you, if you will, turn with me in your Bibles. I don't have a lot of time, but I've got about 12 minutes. We want to use it wisely. 12 minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Brother Scott was asking what the presentation would be like, and I said, well, and he said, am I going to preach? I said, well, not really, but kind of. And I said, I want to finish in the scripture. We could talk a lot. You guys have done missions. This is a mission-minded church. This church is on mission. But what I want to talk about is the fact, and the reason I want to dig into the Word is to remind us that the same God, the same Spirit who makes this church alive is the same God and the same Spirit who's making the Chilean church alive. The same Word that brings a harvest here to Lone Oak Baptist Church, to the West Union Baptist Association, to the Kentucky Baptist Convention, to our Southern Baptist Convention, is the same Scripture, the same Word of God that brings life to the Chilean church. It just sounds different when we read it and when we talk and we speak it. It was the same Word of God that's powerful and active and is sharp as a two-edged sword that penetrates. There, I want to go speak in Spanish. I can't do it in English. Even to the bone, even to the marrow of the bone, is the Word of God. Same thing in Turkey. The same thing where you guys are going and where you guys are working. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 verses. Verses 1 through 7. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols. However you were led, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. And there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. For to one is given, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What are we about? What are we about when we're on mission? We're about using the gifts that God has given us in the ministry places and expressions that God has put before us for the common good or for the effect that God wants to work in the lives of His creation for the common good of the body of Christ and mankind. Notice he doesn't just say for the common good of the church. Your gift is also for the common good of each one that God wants to win, that God wants to save, that God wants to redeem. But where does it begin? It begins here. Now concerning spiritual gifts. So if we talk about ministry, we talk about doing so with the gifts that God has given us. But it begins when he says, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the mute idols. You were led astray to the mute idols, however you were led. He's saying, I'm not concerned with how you got there. I'm just concerned with where you wound up. I'm just concerned with the fact that, and you need to be concerned with the fact that you were once led to a mute idol. What's a mute idol? A powerless, lifeless, nothing. Just a lone oak tree that someone sometime decided was worth somebody's worship. And it was no more alive than the other tree right down the road. Mute idols. And at one point in our lives, whether we accept it or not, we had been led astray. Whether as children, from the time that we're able to choose right from wrong, the conscience of God, the Spirit of God begins working in our life, we find ourselves at some point face to face with the fact that apart from Christ, we're dead. And that's missions in a nutshell. Missions is seeing the world for what it is, where the Apostle Paul writing here to the church at Corinth saying, let's just call it for what it is. No matter how you got there, you were led astray to dead, lifeless idols. But he doesn't stop there, because he says the good news. What's the good news? That therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God can say Jesus is accursed. And the good news, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. If we put it in the words of Jesus in John chapter 3, when he was speaking to Nicodemus in the night, and he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And I tell you the truth, that no one, unless he's born of water and Spirit, can enter the kingdom of God. We must be born again by the Spirit of God. We must be born again. And the life-changing message and the hope of the gospel is that God can come to a person who is dead, who is looking to lifeless things for life and for joy and for abundance and for direction. And God can come and he can take that dead thing and he can breathe life into that dead body. He can rejuvenate that dead body and he can make that person alive. That's what God's done for us. He's made us alive in Christ. He's made us alive in Christ. Galatians chapter 5 says, if we say we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit of God. He has given us new life by the Spirit of God, which is within us. And that new life by the Spirit leads us on and it compels us into the world to preach the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ to those who have been led astray to worthless, mute idols. And so when I'm standing on the 19th floor of my apartment building and I'm looking out over this city, I just simply need to remind myself, reflect on who God is, and say, all of these people, lifeless spiritually, in need of the life-giving, abundant, joy-filled presence of God that's theirs upon believing and confessing that Jesus is Lord. The simple power and message of the gospel that transforms lives. That's the treasure that God has entrusted to us, and that's the treasure that's ours, and that's the treasure that our giftings serve, that our ministries serve. That's the end to which God has us pointed. And that all begins right here in the wonderful town of Paducah, Kentucky, for each of you, where God has placed you, where He has given you life. God is saying, will you be on mission with me? You might get to Chile one of these days. You might not, but you can still and should and will have the capacity to be on mission with God in the place that He has made you alive for the people here in this place. There are a variety of gifts. Not everyone's going to do the same thing. I'm not here to preach on the gifts. Your pastor can teach you all about the gifts. There are a variety of gifts, and not everyone's going to do the same thing. There, Scripture says there are a variety of ministries, and not everyone is going to exercise their gift in the same ministry capacity. And there are a variety of effects that God wants to carry out in the lives of His people. And not every person is going to be affected or impacted in the same way as someone else. But tying all of that together is the Lord Jesus Christ, making us one in Him, bringing us together with the power of the Spirit. There are a variety of gifts, but one Spirit. There are a variety of ministries, but one Lord. There are a variety of effects, but one God who works in all people to fulfill the plans that He has for them. One Father, one Son, one Spirit, one mission. We're all on it together. Thank you. Thank you for being faithful where God has placed you. God is always opening new doors. The greatest challenge we have is to know which one sometimes He wants us to walk through. I'm not here today to tell you that you need to walk through the door to Chile. I do know that God is opening a door and a window of opportunity for Kentucky Baptist, for West Union Association, for Lone Oak Baptist Church, to envision what it would look like to help us in Chile. And I say, you're welcome. Come help. But most importantly, I want to say, use the gift that God's given you where He's calling you to use it to impact the people that He wants to impact in the way He does. And if it's not Chile, I praise God it's going to be where He sends you, where your staff and your leadership lead you, so that we can continue to be faithful to the one who called us, and so that we can see people made alive by the power, life-changing blood of Jesus and His Spirit which dwells within us. I want to give you an opportunity to respond. The Scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, Paul loves to talk about the Spirit of God, and he says to Timothy, fan into flame the Spirit of God, the gifts that He has given you. I want to encourage you today to stop and to think, what do I need to fan into flame? And there may be someone here that's never given their life to Jesus Christ that says, I've never been born again. Not long ago, my wife was sharing with a lady who's been coming to our church, and before that, she was in another church. And for a variety of reasons, their family had been out of church for a while. And as God does, you know, He brings people back into church. I'm going to ask Kenny, if you would, come on and let's be prepared. Transition. Her name is Giselle. And Giselle thought that she knew the Lord, and everyone thought that she knew the Lord. But when my wife said, have you ever been born again? She said, what does that mean? She realized she'd never been born again. She never turned from the dead things to the life-giving thing. And maybe there's someone here tonight that needs to turn to the Lord for the first time and say, I need to be born again. Maybe there's someone here tonight who says, God's given me a gift, but I've been wanting to use someone else's. And you say, God, I want to give my gift to you tonight. I want to give back to you that which you've given to me. And I want to use my gift and not someone else's. Maybe there's someone here who's been, there goes to my Spanish again, who's been channeling their gifts into a ministry that's not a good fit. And God says, I want to redirect you tonight into a different ministry, because there's a variety of ministries. And God's been telling you, I need you to do this for me. And maybe tonight's the night you say, I'm going to step in faith and do this for the Lord. And maybe someone's here tonight that says, God's been calling me to leave my home and to leave my family, to pack up my things and to follow Him into missions, into vocational ministry, into life overseas, maybe even down in Alabama where there's still people who need to know the Lord. Maybe God's calling you to leave home and go. One Lord, one Spirit, one Father, a variety of gifts. May God use us according to His perfect will for our lives. Amen. Amen. The invitation's open for you to come. Kenny, as you lead, as God directs, let me pray. Father, we praise you for your love. We praise you for your Son. We praise you for this place. And for well over 100 years, it's been a faithful beacon of light in this community. And we pray for the 100 years to come. But we also pray for this moment right now, that your will would be done, that your perfect plan would be executed in all of our lives, that we would submit to you, that we would be filled by the power of your Spirit, that we would be sent out with Jesus abiding in our hearts with abundant and full joy, and that you will use us, Lord, to turn people from death to life. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.